Welcome to the New Wine Podcast. My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this, to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This is the sixth New Wine Podcast, and here's what we'll do this time. We'll discuss prayer, its connection to being on mission with Jesus, and a few examples of how prayer has impacted some of the missional efforts I've been part of. I think it would be wise to begin by demystifying prayer a bit. Sometimes we get mental images of prayer that aren't entirely helpful. We might envision sitting in the lotus position while meditating. We might think about the flowery prayers of the person at a worship service who people compliment for praying beautiful prayers. And we might conjure up an image of someone sitting alone in a prayer closet with a long, long list of prayer requests. Or we might imagine the person that we know who regularly prays extemporaneously for an hour or two. I want to be clear. Each of these images can be great. Meditation, poetic praying, lifting requests up to the Lord, and marathon prayers can all be examples of an exemplary prayer life. But those are not the only ways to pray, and those are not expected of everyone. Here's how I like to think about it. Prayer is conversation with God. Whatever form that takes is fine. What matters is whether or not the line of communication is open. And this communication is two-way. We speak to God, and He speaks to us. I imagine this is where so many of us make our biggest blunders. We do all the speaking in prayer, and we never do any listening. Could you imagine if we did that in a human relationship? We'd lose that friend really fast. Luckily for us, God is not only our friend, but the most patient friend imaginable. When we fail to connect with Him well, He's still there waiting for us. And, like a good friend, He knows when to talk and when to stay silent. This reality of prayer has to be one of the hardest things to live at peace with as a follower of Jesus. Sometimes, God just doesn't seem to respond. Now, what we tend to do in moments like these is this, or at least this has been true of my experience, and I've counseled many people through the same emotions and reactions. We assume that God is far away. We assume Jesus' promise to be Emmanuel, to be God with us, must have ceased to be in effect for a bit. We feel forgotten and alone. But I'm growingly convinced that the moments when we feel like God isn't responding are some of the greatest opportunities for us to actually feel His presence. Why would I think that? Well, we tend to think that the ways that God has interacted with us in the past are the ways in which He'll interact with us in the present and in the future. And doing this limits God. It limits Him to only a handful of ways of connecting with us. Friends, sometimes we need to just sit in His presence. Sometimes we need His empathetic silence to heal us. Sometimes God is that friend that you call when your world is falling apart and she or he knows just what not to say. When we're down to our last dollar and our electric bill is past due, sometimes what we need more than miraculous money is for the holy and true King of the universe to simply and quietly sit by our sides. But then at other times, we need to hear God speak to us. So when we pray, we should always make space for Him. This response on our part could take 1,000 different forms. Here are a few. We could literally add a few minutes of silence to our prayer routine, hoping to hear from God, whether Him speaking to us literally, Him placing thoughts or images in our minds, Him helping our emotions change, or any number of other ways that He can communicate with us. We could simply have an expectancy for God to connect with us after we pray, whether in some divinely amazing way, like a burning bush, or through the words of our friends, or through a song, even a secular song, or through a book we've been reading, or any other way as well. Or we could open the Bible after we pray, hoping for God to reveal Himself to us there. There are many other ways too, but here's the point. Are we expecting God to speak? Are we making space for Him to? Are we listening for His voice? Or are our lives so full of busyness, noise, and clutter that we can't hear God reaching out to connect with us at all? You may have noticed that I didn't talk about our part of the two-way conversation yet. That was on purpose. We tend to fill our times with prayer with lots of chatter on our end and with almost no listening. So we need to actually focus on listening. But speaking to God in prayer is important too. And I'll make my comments here very brief. In fact, just two pieces of advice. Number one, and this is the most important, be honest. When praying, just do you. There's no need for you to turn on your Christianese when praying. God knows you, and He knows your heart. There's no need to dress your language up, and there's no need to hide anything. If you've sinned, confess. He already knows. If you're angry, even if you're angry at Him, talk about it. He already knows. If you're happy or sad or depressed or overjoyed or anything else, just be honest about it. He already knows. And if you're scared or have doubts about Him and His guidance of your life, just own up. He already knows. And number two, do what works for you. When speaking during prayer, whether out loud or in your head, do what makes sense to you. You don't have to pray like I do or like anyone else does. Just pray in the ways that you have found helpful for you to connect with God. This could be praying whatever comes to mind, using a prayer matrix each time, like the ACTS method, doing the Jesus prayer or other repeated phrase prayers, meditating on one word of the Bible or a characteristic of God, practicing Lectio Divina, aka praying the scriptures, or singing your prayers out loud. There are many other methods of prayer as well. In a future podcast, I'll spend some time talking about the ones I listed and some others as well. But let it suffice for now that what matters most is that when you pray, pray in a way that you have found meaningful. And if you haven't found one yet, experiment and do so often. What do you have to lose? What role does prayer play in the life of someone seeking to live missionally? Someone who's trying to follow Jesus actively in the real world. In one word, prayer is indispensable. What I'd like to do now is to explore why this is the case. Why is prayer indispensable for the follower of Jesus who is trying to live out her sentness incarnationally in the real world? Here are three reasons, though I'm sure there are more. Number one, because without prayer, we tend toward selfishness. Honestly, even in a deep season of prayerfulness, being selfish is still a major temptation. But here's the truth. Left to our own devices, we will always look out for number one. We will be selfish. This is a guarantee. But when we pray, we can become reminded of our connection with God and with His will in this world. That's a big idea and probably one of the most asked questions by Christians. What is the will of God? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not the job I'll get. It's not the money that I'll make or the family that I'll have or the retirement that I'll invest toward. Now, those are things that people who are far from God do and do well on their own without prayer. God's will has to be something bigger than that, something other than the pursuit of our cultural norms. And Paul helpfully reveals God's will for us in 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. There he says that God is all about reconciliation, which just means restored relationships, and that his greatest desire is that all things would be reconciled to him through his son Jesus. So God's will is simply this, reconciliation. Restored relationships between people and God and between people and people. So the better question for us to ask is this, how can I participate in God's will? What is my role? And when we pray, we can be reminded of this central question. Prayer is a place where God helps bend our wills to be more in line with His will. We even see this in the life of Jesus Himself. On the night before He was arrested, Jesus prayed a prayer like this: "Not my will, God, but Your will be done." That's a chief reason a missional follower of Jesus should pray, because doing so helps align us to God's will and not to our own agendas or politics or pet service projects. Prayer helps the desires of our hearts be replaced with the desire of God's heart. And what is that desire? 2 Peter 3:9 says it plainly, that none should perish. God wants everyone to be reconciled, to be in right relationship with Him. And prayer helps us align ourselves with God's will. Number two, prayer is important for someone hoping to follow Jesus actively in the real world because we need to be connected to Him to find any success, however we might define that. I like the analogy of electricity with regard to prayer. We are like houses. We are connected to the electric power source, which is some distance from us, through cables and wires. Therefore, the power source of our lives as missional followers of Jesus is God Himself. And we are connected to this power. We have access to it through prayer. Think about it. When we encounter a need in our lives or the lives of those with whom we are connected, why wouldn't we ask the Creator of the universe to help if we could? And guess what? We can. We can ask for God's help. But we don't all the time, though. In the second half of James 4:2, we read these words: "You do not have because you do not ask God." This, of course, doesn't mean that we don't have a Maserati because we haven't asked for it yet. It means that we haven't fully tapped into all that we need because we haven't asked God to help provide for our needs. We haven't really trusted Him. So the takeaway here is simple. We need to stay connected to God through prayer. Which leads us right into number three. Prayer is vital for the person who is on mission with Jesus because being on mission with Jesus is difficult. There's really no other way of saying it. To follow Jesus the way He talked about in the Gospels is the hardest thing that any of us will ever do. Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Lots and lots of reasons. Here's a few. Because what we desire is often in conflict with what the Spirit desires, as we see in the first part of Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. This makes following Jesus difficult, of course, because what the Spirit desires is aligned with what Jesus desires. Therefore, what Jesus desires for us is often in conflict with what we desire for ourselves. So we need to seek the Lord in prayer, asking Him to help align us with His desires instead of our own. And it's difficult to follow Jesus because, as Jesus puts it in John 16, the world hates followers of Jesus. They don't understand us because we pursue different ends than they do. We have different priorities, and this can feel isolating at times. At those times, when we feel isolated, we need to pray for God to restore our strength to us so that we can continue to follow Him. And lastly, following Jesus is difficult because Jesus equated it with taking up a cross in Luke 9:23. This might sound benign today, since we put crosses around our necks and on our vehicles and on our t-shirts. But in the first century, a cross was a symbol of Roman torture and control. And it appears that what Jesus had in mind was a self-denial that would be difficult for people to follow through with. I think all of us who follow Jesus experience this daily. And if we're being really honest, we give in to our selfishness more than we'd like to admit. Following Jesus is difficult. Therefore, let us pray to God to grant us strength for the journey. I'd like to put flesh on these ideas of prayer, though. It can be easy to talk about the spiritual reality of prayer and think that it's just that, spiritual. And it is, don't get me wrong. But there are real world, flesh and blood examples of prayer too. I'll share two of them here. In the missional community I'm part of, we have taken a few prayer walks in the neighborhood where we feel called. In each case, we prayed for God to show us where He was at work in the neighborhood already. And in each case, He has done just that. Here's the interesting thing, though. My wife and I live in this neighborhood. We drive its streets and walk its sidewalks daily. But when we pray to see where God is at work, we see the neighborhood differently. We still see the trash and the signs of gang affiliation, but we also hear the children playing and pay attention to the nonprofits that do great work. The simple prayer habit of asking God to show us where He is at work has forever changed the way we see our neighborhood. Another real-world example of prayer for a Christian who wants to follow Jesus actively in the real world is asking God to orchestrate divine appointments. Here's what I mean by this. Every single day, I see dozens, if not hundreds, of people. I generally pass them right by, unless I have a reason to talk with them. I often don't even look at them in the face or treat them like people. But on the days where I ask God to bring someone across my path that I could bless, He usually does. I go to the same places, seeing many of the same people, but God keeps me alert and helps me see people, not from a worldly perspective, but with new eyes, as Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 5:16. And it's on days like these, days on which I ask God to orchestrate divine appointments, that I find someone to help, someone to pray for, or someone to befriend. In other words, someone with whom to share and embody the good news of Jesus and His kingdom. This has happened enough times in my life and in the lives of my friends in our missional community that I don't think it's a coincidence. I honestly believe that prayer helps me see people God wants me to interact with, not to mention prayer helping me interact with them well. So that's it. Prayer is a two-way conversation between people and God. And this open line of communication is absolutely necessary for someone to follow Jesus actively in the real world. Thanks for exploring the concept of prayer with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And also check out my website, jmatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. And while you're at my website, get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission in 1 John. There should be a bar at the top of the screen on my website where you can enter your email address so that you can be emailed a download link. Thanks for your time. Grace and peace.